Hello, everybody. Welcome to Handing It to Jesus. This is the podcast where we learn to trade our deepest struggles to God for peace. This is Matt Tilley speaking to you right now, as always, and I am here with my good friend and counselor, Craig Faust. Hey, Craig.
Hi.
We are exploring this question today, how do you pray? And it's a question that I think many of us have felt like we have no idea what we're supposed to do, what words we're supposed to say, and we fumble around with it. We feel like we're not adequate enough to even try to start talking to God. You throw a couple people around you, and maybe you feel even more self-conscious about, I have no idea what I'm doing. There's no way I'm going to even attempt to do this because it feels so awkward and out of sync. Maybe we have enough trouble trying to figure out how do we talk to people around us, let alone talk to a divine supreme judge of the whole universe, right? I think for lots of us, it just feels so foreign and weird. And so I think it's maybe important to break it down and to figure out, like, how do you do it? What does it look like? When do you do it? And maybe Craig and I, you know, we can share a little bit of our experience with prayer, what we've learned about it, how our prayer lives have changed over the years in the course of our relationship with God. I know my experience of prayer has changed over the years,
right?
Quite a bit.
Well, I think that's pretty normal, right? So if we think of prayer, there can be several different goals, but the ultimate goal that we want in prayer is this is our way of connecting to God, right? We do that through prayer. We do that through reading of the Word. We do that through talking with other believers. There's this connection that ends up happening. And if we think about it, it's pretty normal, right? Like if I want to be a closer, better friend to Matt, I'm going to talk to him more. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want with God. And the challenge that some of us get into is that we can get really pigeonholed into what prayer is. So as Matt and I talk about this, we want to let you know that you can pray in different ways. And if you've Googled it or anything, and if you looked into this, your church tradition may have certain prayers that they may encourage you, or there's certain formats or different things like that. And a lot of that is just to try to give you a framework. And this is the same thing that we're wanting to introduce right in this prayer section. We have several different questions to try to kind of get you into a mindset of prayer.
Right.
And that's really just to help guide you. And prayer can be this open-ended, and it can be beautiful, and it could be full of emotion and full of you. And it could be singing, it could be praise, it could be fluid, it could be structured, right? There can be a ritual that happens around it. And so for you, it's really important to consider what type of prayer or combination of prayers helps connect you to God, because that's the ultimate goal of prayer. And so I think
connection,
that
communication.
Absolutely. So like whenever I grew up, you know, I was heavily influenced by several different schools of thought around prayer, and a lot of it, having a semi-Catholic background, was like more of the formality of prayer. There are certain times in service where you will respond with certain ritualistic prayers. And what I mean by that is there are certain words that you're saying. So like there'll be a clump of words or sayings or different things like that you'll say, or you'll repeat in response to something that the Father says. So there is this ritualistic piece. And honestly, there's a ritualistic prayer. And when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, whenever Jesus actually gives you the Lord's Prayer, right? So it's this format of, hey, say this and pray this to God. And there is really a lot of benefit to that because it gets you in the habit of doing that. Whereas, like for me growing up, it was good because I prayed every day because of this, especially like I remember I couldn't really go to sleep very well unless I'd prayed, like, because it's just always been a part of this. What had happened for me is, so I'm a person that takes things to extreme most of the time. So I did this with prayer too. So all of my prayers throughout the day always ended up looking the same. Mm-hmm. And what would happen over time is I would start droning them on, right? So like I would be praying and I'd be saying the words and I'd even be saying it out loud at times, but I wouldn't really be experiencing the prayer. So it'd be no different than if I was talking to you right now and I've had this conversation 100 times and I could just say it without really being in it. I could say it without really being present. So there are benefits to ritualistic prayer because it can help build the habit of prayer.
Totally.
Yeah. But there needs to be this intentionality in prayer that we may need to work on, right? If I'm having a conversation with the creator of the universe, or I should say not if, when I'm having the conversation with the creator of the universe, I want to be present. And so for you, you may have to find different tricks to help you kind of transition into prayer or to be able to honor that space that you're in. Mm-hmm. And again, this is all about communication, right? If I'm going to talk to my wife and I'm wanting to have a serious conversation or talk to her about struggles I'm going through, I may actually go through in my head what that conversation is going to look like, or I may kind of mentally prepare myself.
Do you pre-plan out your conversations in your head before you go talk to somebody or after you've talked to somebody?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I do that. I imagine many of you guys do that as well with people that we know in our lives, mm-hmm. right? It's appropriate and fine to do the same thing in our relationship with God. Right.
Ironically, I'd say the more that we do that, actually, the less authentic we can be. Mm. So one of the things that in the respondent prayer that we have, you know, we have these different, you know, steps that you can go through. Looks like we have 1 to 8 that you can go through. And the whole purpose of this is kind of really to try to get you in the place where you can be you. Right, where you can pause and you can prepare yourself for that conversation. You can really try to feel it. You know, whenever we did the grieving section, one of the things that Matt and I tried to demonstrate was this ability to like tap into the current experience that we're having while we're praying, so that we can be emotionally vulnerable the best that we can with God, which is kind of what my prayer life is transformed into over time, a mixture of more ritualistic prayer and trying to, all right, it's my time to try to take the moment to be vulnerable with God and to really pay attention. And that's been the game changer for me personally, shifting from that ritualistic prayer to, okay, actually I was just talking to somebody about this the other day, that if I can sit there for 5 to 10 seconds of silence just to help me shift into that, like, all right, this is an important conversation, I want to be present for it, then a lot of times my prayer life changes. If for me, I can be less in my head about what I'm going to say and try to pay attention more of what's going on with my body, or if I can pay attention more like what's just distressing, what's at the top of my mind. So often whenever I pray, there's this checklist of this is what I'm supposed to pray for every day. You know, I'm supposed to pray for my health, my family's health. You know, there's a neighbor that's struggling, pray for them. There's these people at church that ask for prayer. So you got to hit all these different highlights. And there's definitely,
it feels like work.
Yeah, there's definitely room for that in prayer. And what I would say for that is if it feels like it's work, like you're saying, then we want to consider, let's take a different approach with this. Instead of lumping that all into one prayer, let's break it up.
Because if that's going to keep you from even wanting to jump into prayer, into connection with God, right, I'd say that's a problem. Yeah, right? Those are all good things to pray for, of course.
Maybe too hard to emotionally shift between all those places.
Mm-hmm.
So right now as we're recording this, they were assessing my grandma to go into hospice. Right. So like my prayers around that were different. Well, like, and they reassessed her and it turned out like she's dehydrated. So she's not in hospice right now. So like my prayers when they were going to assess her to go into hospice and the grieving I was going through are different than the prayers that I had whenever I found out not, right? It's still praising God for these different things in both of these states, but I was in a different emotional place. So now imagine, so I have arachnophobia, so I have a fear of spiders.
Didn't know this about you.
Yeah, so like imagine I am praying for my grandma, and then I'm like, oh yeah, by the way, I got to pray that, you know, no spiders are going to come near me so I don't have a heart attack. I'm going to tack that on to that prayer. Could you imagine like the emotional whiplash of going to praying for my grandma to, oh yeah, God, please also don't let any spiders come near me today. You know, it's difficult because our emotional state, we can fluctuate pretty greatly. And what I believe in vulnerability in prayer. I believe that that is the best way for us to not only connect with people, but to connect with God.
Yeah.
So like whenever I'm trying to connect with the creator of the universe, the God who loves me, who gave, you know, sent his only son to die for me on the cross for my sins, you know, and then rose again. If I'm praying to God, then I want to be in that state where I can be emotionally open. So if there are places where I'm praying for where it's going to be hard for me to emotionally shift, I want to save those for a different prayer, right? Give them their own prayer, their own time and space to allow me to shift to that.
Like it doesn't feel like the right time in that moment. And part of you can tell, right? Like what I'm focusing on right now with God is what I want to stay on for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's different, almost like emotional energy that other things in our life have, I guess, right?
And, you know, there are times where we're going to be in the catch-all prayer, right? Like my wife and I, before we pray before bed, I can tell whenever I'm in the catch-all prayer, right? I'm just trying to hit these highlights of, God, thank you so much for my warm bed that I'm sleeping in and different things like that. I'm doing these different things, one, because, like, I want to keep up with the habit, right? I don't necessarily think that if I'm just going through the motions— I don't necessarily think that that's all bad, but I also think that if that's the only thing I'm doing in my prayer life, that could be an issue, right?
Sure.
Or that is an issue because I'm not actually connecting with God. So like if I'm doing that, I'm like, all right, I'm tired and that's what's going on. And like, maybe I don't have the emotional juice there. Then it's like, okay, I need to be praying more often. I need to pray in the morning, or I need to do these other things during the day to help get me into that space.
Right.
To really be able to be in the prayer and to be like, that's my deliberate attempt to connect with God in these moments.
Yeah. You know, you had me thinking too, that for a lot of people out there, like they may not have had that same background of like learning that structure. And maybe a lot of people don't really feel like they're good at praying. Or fit to do it in a way that fits any sort of mold that just comes naturally to them, where they can even be authentic because at least a format of, that they would have had soaked in over years isn't there, you know?
Right.
And I think a lot of us can feel like that, you know, where we just don't have that experience with it. I really like some of these quotes from, you know, great believers who have come before us, who are long gone, have said, there's so many of them. I like what Charles Spurgeon has said about prayer, just to take one of his quotes out of context. Not to pray because you do not feel fit to pray is like saying, I will not take medicine because I am too ill. Pray for prayer. Pray yourself by the Spirit's assistance into a praying frame. And I think what he's saying there is you have to have this in your life if you want any sort of connection with the Lord, if you want to understand how to interpret his word when you're reading through it as well. It's like a connection and an intimacy with God is 100% going to aid you as you read through scripture.
Right.
And so to kind of move through that awkward stage of feeling like I'm not good enough to do it, and to do it even though you're scared, even though you feel uncomfortable, even though you feel awkward, and to maybe pray for that thing. Like, I feel weird doing this. God, help me to know what to say. Help me to be able to talk to you better. Help me to know what is a good thing to say to you when I'm talking to you. Is this okay, God? help me to have a right heart when I'm talking to you, to have words that are not blasphemy, or to have words that are not that don't go against your word or what you've told us to do. But even if I do, God, like, help me to like realize and understand and to learn and to watch other people and to grow in this area of my life.
So I love something you said right there, because it's been part of my own journey, especially recently. So if any of you guys follow our Instagram, you actually may have even heard me talk about this, is that I've been more conscious of the words that I use lately and trying to recognize what words that I use that are blasphemous. And there's a lot more in my everyday vocabulary, or like my ever like one-offs, than I may think. Mm-hmm. Like I used to always say like devil's advocate and different things like that. And then like, you know, is that the thing that, it's what position does my heart take in those moments whenever I say that? And the thing is, whenever we're praying, over time, maybe for you right away, depending on like how difficult it is, God will convict us of our sin. That is part of the relationship and part of the growing of the relationship. In fact, we're trying to hand our deepest struggles over to God. So when we're praying about the struggles that we're going through, we might feel conviction of not only the struggle that we're going through, but different auxiliary things that are actually supporting that struggle.
Like breaking down the pillars, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, during prayer, we might hear different responses, or if we don't hear responses, we're in that like heart space that sometimes God is communicating through us, through other people or different things that we're seeing. We're in a place to try to absorb more of what's going on with the word, or a Bible verse may show up in your head. Those types of things, because you're shifting yourself in a place to actually hear the response, to actually receive the response. Mm-hmm. And, I think I've talked a little bit about this before. My wife and I, we experience very differently responses from God. Mm-hmm. My wife will actually hear a response from God whenever she prays at times. And I've never had that experience before. I will get nudges or urges to do something.
Yeah, I'll get feelings.
But she'll actually hear like some type of response. Like I remember she's praying the other day. She's like, oh, should we do this, or should I be concerned about this? My wife always says these different like health things that are popping up. And she goes, I prayed about it a couple times, and God says, you'll be okay. It's hard to trust in that different times, right? And that's their own struggle to go through. But if I was to pray about something like that, then what I may get is that like, hey, like, just keep going. And I won't hear that. I'll just feel like a surge of energy, or I'll just feel like an inclination to go do something.
Right.
And so there are...
It's different than what you receive, right? And I think that's important to note that prayer is a dialogue.
Yes.
It's not only on you, right? Prayer is when we get to communicate with the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. When Christ died on the cross, and that veil that was between the Holy of Holies... a thick veil was torn in two from the top to bottom, so that we can actually commune with God. And we don't have to rely on a priest once a year to make atonement for us, that we can go directly to him is a huge blessing. And so this is a moment, every time that we step into prayer, that we are communing back and forth with God. And so your wife has a different way that she receives God's communication with her. You have a different way that you receive communication from God as well. And that is a place where we also have to be careful. And that's what we can pray for as we're learning, how do I pray?
Yes.
Of God, how am I receiving your answer, your response to what I'm praying about? First and foremost, the way that God does communicate with us is also through his written word. Mm-hmm. And so what you can do is, in your prayer, an urge, a feeling, a response that you hear, take that response that you're feeling of what God is telling you as you pray and hold it up against Scripture. Does this line up? with the written word of what God has right. already commanded or told us to do. And usually we're asking or talking about specific things in our prayer, and maybe we're getting specific urges, feelings, thoughts back. And the Bible doesn't have specific things that it tells us about our life, right? Mm-hmm. But what it does have for us is a way to behave and act in this world and with other people and with God, and a way to treat ourselves. Right. And so we can take those specific things or feelings or urges that we're getting in prayer from God and hold it up against, well, does it line up with this Good. General understanding of how to engage with the world well, and people? And
does it highlight certain stories? So like, I don't really quite remember the exact response that my wife heard in this last example of saying, but like, let's use an example, like you mm-hmm. will be okay. Okay. Put that in quotations. All right. When does God say this in the mm-hmm. Bible, and who does he say it to? Right. Put that in ChatGPT and they'll spit out yeah. different yeah. answers for you. And then boom, right. Go to that study, read about this. What was going on there? Right. Whenever God had this type of assurance to help you kind of get in that heart position. And you right. know, with prayer, a lot of the prayers that you're going to have, you will not get responses that you'll be able to discern.
Right.
Right. Or you may not get any response at all. So the prayer is not the goal of putting a pressure on God to respond, mm-hmm. right? It is to talk to God about what's going on with you and to be open to some type of response.
Yeah. Sometimes you might see that response in like the right. unfolding of the next few days or the next mm-hmm. month or the next year of what is happening in your life, right? Yeah. Of how God tangibly answered or denies or whatever your requests. And so even that, like you can test that and hold that up against scripture. Is this really from God? Is this a response from God that is in line with what he's giving me in his word? And so like, you know, that thought, that feeling that Lauren had that it's going to be okay. Well, we see scattered all over scripture an encouragement from God that we don't have to worry or be anxious,
right.
that he is going to provide and take care of us.
Right.
There's also instances where he like curses people though, right? Where he brings consequences and punishment, like on the Israelite nation when they're taken into captivity. But we have to read into those stories also with context. Why did he do that? Because he gave them chance after chance after chance after right. chance to repent and turn from their evil ways, and they did not. Mm-hmm. And so there is a consequence for their sin.
Yeah.
Have you had chance after chance after chance after chance to repent from a wrongdoing, a sin, and you have not done that? Well, perhaps an answer to your prayer, God might say, there will be consequences for that. It might not even be something so extreme that God has to bring down a lightning bolt on you. It might just be the natural order of what happens in our world that he has set up and created.
Yeah, absolutely. So like if there is, you know, like shifting over to lust, which is something that we'll do a series on after we get done going through the workbook, is that if I am in the throes of lust and that's something I'm trying to hand over to Jesus, and then I start looking at porn and my wife finds out, right, I could repent and I could pray and ask for forgiveness from God, and the thing is, I will still face the consequences of that in my relationship.
100%.
Right? Yeah. It's not like,
even if she shows us grace, which is, you know, godly, and forgiveness, which is godly, right. it still harms the relationship, right? We yes. still feel that weight of harm that we've done to somebody else.
Yeah. So just circling back to prayer, the thing that we really want you to understand is there are different types of prayer. You may not know how to pray, and that's okay. What Matt was saying is golden. Just start talking to God.
Right.
Over time, your prayer will change. But even just having a conversation, and you know, there are times where you're praying and you might not know what to say, and you can just open up the Bible and just reflect some of the things to God.
That's right.
Right, about what's written and God's word. And those are things that are okay. Often we've seen in Scripture where some of the people whose stories and narratives that we get to witness there, they are telling God, exactly what God has told them. They are reflecting back God's word to God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, right? So we get the ability to do that. Or you can take something. Matt and I were talking a little bit about, both of us love the Lord's Prayer. Go figure.
Love
Jesus
yeah.
knows what he's talking about. So
when because the disciples were asking him, guess what? Lord, how should we pray?
Yes.
It is an age-old question to figure out how do we engage with God, right?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. Continue.
So, like, whenever you go with the Lord's Prayer, there are times, so, like, you know, I use that as a ritualistic prayer. I try every day that I'm taking my son to the bus stop to pray the Lord's Prayer while we're walking to the bus stop.
Love it.
Sometimes he's listening, sometimes he's not, sometimes he joins along with me. But the thing is, there are times where we may start with something that's ritualistic, right? I may start with the Lord's Prayer. I say, Our Father, who is in heaven, may your name be recognized as holy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I may pivot off that and be like, and I want to make sure that I can recognize your name's holy and that I never say anything that puts a, you know, that puts a slight towards your name.
Yeah.
That I want to be able to make sure every time that I say God or I think about you that I recognize how you are separate and apart from everything. And so I may pivot from there. And those so like in times where I don't really know what to pray to God, but I'm like, all right, I have this moment. I want to try to connect. We may go through a prayer and then like, hey, whenever I get hit with something, right, give us this day our daily bread, right, this daily provision of bread. And God, you do this every day for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have these meals that are provided. Help me to recognize in these moments, this is your way of giving to me every day to help sustain
right.
me. So
you've given me a roof over my head. You've given me food to eat in my pantry. You've given me a job that I can bring home sustenance in life for my family so that we can keep on living. Yeah,
right.
You keep providing every day. Yeah. Yeah.
Or you may get to, and lead me not to temptation. Lead mm-hmm. me not to the testing. Right, where we get into this, right, like my own fear,
yeah.
again, lead me not to the testing because I am fearful that I may not be strong enough, but I thank you that you are strong enough, and as long as I cling to you,
that's
I'll
right.
be able to get through whatever trial that I face.
Yeah.
Help me to recognize that in these moments of struggle and suffering that I can pivot to you.
Yeah.
So like as we're going through some of these prayers, you can allow yourself that freedom to really... really give yourself to that vulnerability and being you,
mm-hmm.
right? I keep on saying like vulnerability, being you, because being vulnerable is you, being you
yes.
to God.
That's right.
And that is the connection point, right? When we can allow ourselves to fall apart, allow ourselves to be us
yeah.
on all of our brokenness and all the wrongness, right? So that as we stand before God in that prayer, God can truly... help us show up.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I was just talking to my son this morning because we've been dealing with, as he's been going to school, he's been coming back and he's been using the Lord's name in vain, right? Just saying, you know, just saying different sayings that I'm sure that he's heard
mm-hmm.
heard at school or heard in, I don't know where else he'd hear it. He said that mm-hmm. he's heard it at school. And one of the things that we were having a conversation with him just this morning about it, you know, what is it that you're trying to do in those moments? And he goes, well, I'm trying to get God's attention. Right? So it's like, oh, okay. So that means that you don't really understand the importance of prayer. Hey, let's sit down and pray together. Let's mm-hmm. actually talk about that. And there are, right, so there is this element that we can turn the prayer into teaching moments. And sometimes
yeah.
the teaching moment is for ourselves.
Oh,
right. Sometimes
so often.
The teaching moment is that submission that Matt was talking to us a little about last week when you were reading from that Bible scholar.
Mm.
The idea that getting ourselves in that submissive state, getting into that state or using that grieving format that we've talked about before,
mm-hmm.
prayer can take so many different types of formats. Feel free to be able to allow yourself to step into that.
That's right.
But here's what I'd recommend overall. And this is something that works for me, doesn't work for you. It's okay. Throw it out. I have the prayer every, you know, for every meal, right? I try my best. Or sometimes I forget. right? And whenever I forget, and I'm like, oh man, I should have prayed
thank
for
this God thing. Your meal.
So then I'll go ahead and do that right afterwards, because what I don't want is my guilt and shame for forgetting to pray to distance me from God. Anytime there's distance from me and God, I notice, because guilt and shame, I want to attack it right away. I'm going to attack it through prayer. I'm going to tell God that I feel guilty and shameful for saying that, and that I should have acknowledged where this come from, right? And I apologize for that, right? And thank you so much for that sustenance. So, because whenever I'm actually having that communication with God, I'm trying my best to move back towards God. God's always there, always right by you, right? So it's our job to continue that struggle of moving towards God despite the guilt and shame that we may feel. So I'll have my prayers with meals. I'll have my prayers at night with my wife before I go to bed. Sometimes we don't do that, right? Like if I'm going to pray about something and I know that I might not be in the emotional state to do that with my wife, right? Because it's like something that's friction between us, or it's something that there's something that I'm having a struggle even finding words for different things, and that I may pray on my own with that. Then once I can find that words, then we can have that conversation. And I do that Lord's Prayer. I try to do that every day. I'm not, you know, I'm not great at that, but I find that I really enjoy it, because it kind of helps get my head on a swivel for what's going on in my life. And then there are times where I want to try to set aside during the day where I'm just like sitting here thinking, what is the thing that I'm struggling with right now? Right. So as we're going through this workbook, like I want to pray about the struggle that I had. I just had a fight with my wife this well, not really a fight, but we had an argument or disagreement about finances this morning. So you better believe that at some point today, I need to have a prayer about like, hey, God, I can recognize that there's that hardening of my heart around finances. And there's that difficulty for me in recognizing that there's enough. I need to be able to have a prayer about that, because the fact that that showed up between me and my wife is a reflection of how I'm feeling with God in that moment, because I am not, you know, there is a view of God that I'm having that's not accurate, that God's not generous, that God's not going to show up, that I'm not being a good steward, right? These different things that are conflicting, and I need to do business with God with that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, well, so that's gonna morph a lot of your prayer every single day when you pay attention to those little things that happen on a day to day basis, right? My experience with prayer, is that what you're asking? I became a believer. I grew up in a Christian household, so prayer was always kind of around at the kitchen table, right? Whenever I went to bed, my mom would pray with me. I remember as a kid, I was the one who had to pray at the kitchen table often. I was the youngest of four boys. And that prayer at mealtimes looked like, God is good, God is great, let us thank him for our food. Amen. And it was ritualistic, and I was annoyed by it. But that was the prayer that I learned to pray somewhere, probably, you know, in the youth at church at Sunday school, right? And then I became a believer around the age of 11 or so, 10 or 11, and my prayer started to change. I started to take my faith with God very seriously, and my prayers didn't change immediately, but at those meal times, I started to think, I think that that prayer feels too simple for me now, and I don't mean it, and so I started praying for different things at meal times, like, thank you for our food, and I pray for this, and I pray for that, and I pray for this, and I pray for that. I pray for help with this, you know, things like that with my family. But still, I was a little self-conscious around my family, since it was put on me always to be the one to pray, the youngest of the family. And so they were still short and sweet, you know. I got heavily involved in a youth group and learned different formats to pray. If you guys go on and Google different prayer formats outside of the Lord's Prayer, you're going to find a lot. One that a structure that I learned to pray through is ACTS, A-C-T-S. It's an acronym for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. So to go through that in your mind as you're praying, to first think of, and it's similar to the Lord's Prayer, to first think of, how do I adore Christ to start off my prayer with? To not start off with asking him for things, but to start off with praising him for who he is and acknowledging who he is. And so that changes your heart in some way whenever your focus is not on yourself, but your focus is first on God. Right. And then to move into confession, I need to be upfront and vulnerable with God about how I have failed him, how I have failed to live by his law and his word, and to be not dismissive of the things that I have done that are not okay. And so it puts God in his place to adore him, and then confession would put me in my place to know that I am a sinner in need of a savior. My sin separates me from God, and I cannot do anything apart from him. And I think often sometimes we get into habits, even in the Christian world, of minimizing our sin and throwing abundant grace every which way. And, you know, there's a temptation. It's on either side of the mountain peak, and it's hard to stand at the top of the mountain peak. And we lean towards
the idea that God's abundance grace is going to give us so much time to change. And the problem is there's a modicum of truth there, but
we need the grace. Yes, there is truth.
There is also a stalling tactic that happens.
Right.
Right. If I'm
I'll get to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think we have that tendency. Either side in the Christian world to lean towards abundant grace, and we have permission to do whatever. We have a lengthy time to get to growth and healing. And we can tip over to the other side of that mountain peak where, you know, our sin is too great. Our focus is too much on our sin. Everything is legalistic. We have to follow the rules, do's, don'ts, do's, don'ts. And we have condemnation, not just for ourselves, contempt, not just for ourselves, but for others as well. Right. And it's very little God's grace, very much so law. And both extremes wind up hurting our relationship with God. And so I think in our prayer, that place of adoration is important. That place of confession is important. And then we move into a place of thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Like we're saying, thanks for this food in front of me. That is important to be thankful. You've heard the signs behind perhaps having a gratitude journal. It's the same concept.
I mean, it is there's a mountain of research around this. Mm-hmm. And go figure. That's how God designed us.
I know, right? That what we focus on, we amplify. There's always pain in our life. There's always suffering in our life. As human beings, we have a tendency to focus on it. And when we focus on it, it grows and it becomes bigger than it actually is. But if we slow down, we allow ourselves to see the beautiful and the good, that's going to grow exponentially in our life as well. And more often than not, there's more blessing and more good in our life than there is pain and suffering. Maybe sometimes the longer you live, you might find that there's more pain and suffering, because the longer we live, the more pain and suffering we experience, the more loss we experience, right? Absolutely. All the more reason to get really good at giving thanks. And then that last part was moving into supplication, right? God, here's my request. Here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I need from you. Please come into my life and help me apply these truths that I just prayed. Help me apply this perspective of you and this thanksgiving that I have for things in my life to my life. There isn't in that structure a whole lot of room for request, petition. I still think that that is equally as good. We see that in the Lord's Prayer there. We right. see the petition and the request in the Lord's Prayer. And so I think, again, that format is helpful to get you into a rhythm and a habit of putting God first, of sandwiching your right. prayer with an acknowledgement of the relationship that you have with God, and with trusting in him and his plan and his understanding and not your own, so that the focus and the point is always at God and not on yourself, right? When right. our focus is on ourself. And again, studies will tell this, there's evidence-based research that tells us that when our focus is on our own happiness or on ourselves, we live less contented, less fulfilled lives. When our focus is on other people, we experience more contentedness. And imagine what would happen in your prayer life if your focus wasn't just on other people, but on God. More focused on
benefit for them, not their shortcomings.
Right. Yes, yes.
Just exactly. want to make sure that the delineation's there.
Yeah. It's still good to pray for yourself as well. Mm-hmm. And so we've created a little format that you can read through. We might cover a little bit more of this in our next episode because we're starting to go long now. Well, but, you know,
I want to spend a lot more time talking about, I want to spend more time talking about repentance, but we'll be able to do that next episode. You know, prayer is a big thing, but I think the main thing that we're trying to get you to understand is, again, prayer is your way of connecting to God. Mm-hmm. You just need to start doing it.
That's right.
Set aside times a day. You don't have to start out doing it, you know, once every hour, but if you want to, go ahead and allow yourself to do that. Yeah. There is a rhythm of your life where we don't necessarily want prayer to fit in. We want to decide when we want to pray, mm-hmm. right? And then build our life around that.
That's right.
So,
or otherwise, will it ever happen for you?
So, you know, even just right now, it's okay to pray while you're listening to this. It's okay to pray as soon as you turn this off or whenever it's done. Allow yourself to move into that space to talk to a Father who loves you and who is willing to allow you to experience eternal life and wants to spend eternal life with you.
That's right.
So we'll continue this conversation about prayer in the next episode. But until then, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being willing to step into this journey with us, to hand our deepest struggles over to Jesus. And just know that we love you very much. And until next time, hope you take care.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially, and this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way, and where I see different things that I want and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that we want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so, like, usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that, because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content. And God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much. And we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah, thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.